This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'm now joined in the studio by Sonia Duggan from Inspiration Coaching. Hello, Sonia.
Hi, Jackie.
Well, thanks very much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
Well, your CV is very impressive because you're not only a life coach, but you're also a parent coach, writer's coach, and a writer yourself.
Well, I used to say I used to have to know the right answers as a maths teacher, and now I just have to know the right questions as a coach.
Well, you've had a very interesting journey, haven't you? Because you started off, as you've just said, as a maths teacher, where you taught in a local secondary school and worked in infant and junior schools. And then you worked in marketing for 11 years, copywriting, mm-hmm. designing, and organising promotional material and events.
Yes.
So what happened then? What was the sort of light bulb moment when you thought, right, I'm going to be a coach?
I actually had coaching from a friend.
Why?
Because she was the most joyful person I knew. She's joyful and loving, and I just wanted some of that. I was very lucky. She lived very close to me. We'd met very fortuitously through her mother, through a writing course, in fact. And I asked her to be my coach, and it just went on from there.
And then you thought, this is really interesting, I'm going to become a coach myself. Is that what happened?
Yes. Well, I've actually been interested and involved in personal development since I trained as a parenting group facilitator about 20 years ago. And I've been going on courses and webinars and reading books. So it's been a passion of mine. And I knew when I was working, I knew that I didn't want another job. I didn't want to be sitting at another desk. I wanted to do something different, but I didn't know what it was. And through the coaching, we sort of reignited that connection with the coaching, which had been a kind of dream at the back of my mind.
Right, and so you started off doing being a parent coach.
I didn't actually start off being a parent coach. I had facilitated parenting groups some time back. So when I started coaching, that was just an area that I'm so passionate about. And so I knew a bit about it still, even though my children have grown up. So it was something that was natural to transfer my coaching skills to. And also writing, that's another world that I'm involved in. So with parenting, there's very little that's as important as bringing up our children to feel good about themselves. And emotional intelligence is a greater predictor of success in a job or in a relationship than IQ. So it's really a wonderful thing to be able to help your children to grow up with emotional intelligence, with a good sense of self-esteem. It's not just about achievement.
Sure, sure. And so you did the parenting coaching, and then when were you led into the writing coaching?
Because I've always been a writer for as long as I can remember.
And what do you write?
I've written everything from poetry to fiction to short stories to commercial writing. I write now, which is, I realised it was a dream, but that it's come true. I now write coaching material, so things from my own life that I've learnt from, that other people can get some value out of. So it's not actually telling them what to do, but it's just like, oh, this happened to me, and this is what I've got out of it. This is what I've learned.
So sharing your experiences.
Absolutely. And yes. I write a monthly article for Look Local magazine, which is a lovely little...
Oh, yes, I know it.
Yeah.
Yes. And so was it during your journey as a writer, when you perhaps had a writer's block or you had difficulty filling the blank page, that you thought, I want to be a writer's coach?
Not really. I heard about a course which was coaching for writers, organised by NAWE, which is the National Association of Writers in Education. And it was also sponsored by Arvon, which is a writer's organization. And I just thought, I need to do that. So I'd already trained as a coach through the Coaches Training Institute, which is one of the oldest and best face-to-face coaching schools in the world. And I'm certified through them, and I'm also accredited by the International Coach Federation. I have a credential through them. But when I saw this coach at this Coaching for Writers course, it just resonated with me. And I just thought, I am a writer. I know quite a bit about what writers go through. But wouldn't it be great to have insights into what writers need, more than just from my own experience?
Yes. And so do you coach writers on a one-to-one, or is it more workshops?
Yeah, it's both, actually. So for the last few years, I've been giving workshops to the Romantic Novelists Association at their annual conference. This year I'll be doing something slightly different, but I do coach one-to-one for writers. this year. It's actually a great time to be interviewing me because it's International Coaching Week.
Oh, is it really? That's interesting.
So a lot of coaches will be doing things to help the public to get a better awareness of what coaching is and what it can do for us. On Saturday, I'll be somewhere on the streets in London giving free coaching sessions to people who, we stand there as a group. It's through Our People's Coach, which is a lovely organisation run by Shivani Mayer. And we meet several times a year and we go somewhere in London. Last time, actually, it was Hemel Hempstead, I think, or High Wycombe.
Or where will you be in case any of our listeners want to? Oh, I see. We can't promote that.
Not quite yet. But okay. It'll be on the Our People's Coach website, and I will tweet about it beforehand.
Oh, jolly good. And getting back to your writing, coaching for writers then. So how do you help writers?
I help them, and it's not about writing skills as such. It's really what's going on inside them. So just as with any coaching, there will be things that are getting in the way of them expressing themselves. So I coached somebody, a writer, who realized that because she had actually had some abuse in her childhood, she had a huge amount of guilt about herself. And she was finding it very hard to set aside time to write because that was something for herself and she didn't feel that she deserved something for herself.
So how did you make her realise that she did deserve the time for herself?
Through the coaching, we can go quite deep, as far as people want to go, but it's often the things that they're not aware of that are driving them. So we aren't conscious of most of our thoughts. And if there are thoughts or emotions that are sort of trapped and we don't want to go there, then they're still running us. We're just not aware of it. So a large part of coaching is trust. When you have the trust of your client, you can take them to places that they may not want to go on their own. So we went to some places that she hadn't wanted to think about. And it's not therapy. It's not something that's sort of going to be hugely scary. But in a safe environment, they can acknowledge things to themselves. And then once it's out there, it's no longer going to be running the show.
Right.
And so she could see what it had done, and then she saw that she had some choices and she could do something different.
And so she ended up being able to write.
Oh, yes, she's had several books published.
Now. Oh, fantastic.
So can anybody actually write a book, or are some people just not capable of it? And it might be quite awkward actually doing a session with someone like that, and you think, there's no way they're going to do a book. If they did, I wouldn't buy it.
Well, that's the thing. Anybody can do a book in theory, and we all buy different books. That's why the bookstores are so full. I mean, we can read a book and think, no, I don't like that, and somebody else will pick it up and think it's wonderful. So you can't sort of judge a book as being bad just because you don't like it. And everybody can write a book, and maybe some people will need help in getting their thoughts ordered and to get the point across. And you know, we can say a lot of words, but what do we want to be conveying with that? So they may actually need an editor to help them to clarify their message and then present it in a way that people will enjoy reading.
Going back to being a parent coach, having had children myself, I know that you sort of started doing that, 10 years ago, didn't you?
It was about 20.
20,
yeah.
Yes. So how have things changed since then? Because you hear so many stories now about children having depression and no self-esteem and things like that. Has that always been the case, or has it just been flagged up a bit more now?
There have always been some children who've been depressed or had problems. I think it's exacerbated now by the fact that they are spending more time focused on a screen. Their parents are very, very busy. I mean, they've always been busy, but maybe now because their children are occupied, it's easier to leave them with what they're happy doing. There's a lot of influences that can come through what children are playing with or watching online. And we don't have control over those things unless we set limits. So if a child is spending 4 or 5 hours a night after school on the computer watching things or interacting with people that you don't even know, you don't know what's going on in their world. Now, it could be that they're actually very lonely children. They don't look lonely because they're engaged in something, but if they're not able to communicate well at school, if they don't have friends, if you're not spending the time listening to them, and I know we are busy, but it's listening, and in fact, it's what Nikki was saying. Listening is the most fundamental thing we can give to anybody.
I think a lot of the problem as well is a lot of women have to go back to work now in order to pay for a house around in this area particularly.
Yeah.
Whereas before you could sort of give up work, look after your children, do things with them and everything. Mm. And now they don't.
Yeah.
So do you find that often parents get very distressed and they come to the coaching to see what they can do differently?
Yes, and even if we don't have much time, it's the quality of the time that we spend with the children, the quality of our attention. We are all guilty of saying, sort of working in the kitchen or at something, saying, yes, I'm listening, keep talking. And our attention isn't totally on them. And the children, you know that when somebody's talking to you but not really listening to you. And so if we can actually look them in the eye and really listen to them and have them feel that they've been heard and also that they can say anything, if they can't tell us what's bothering them at an early stage, then they either are going to be telling somebody else and we don't know where that will lead, or they're not telling anybody, and that's where it can go deeper into depression.
So you actually run courses for families, do you? So mums and dads?
I have done. I'm not doing it at the moment, but I have run parenting courses, a fabulous 12-week course, which is a long commitment for people. But it takes you through learning to listen. It takes you through self-esteem, and a lot of parents don't have it themselves, so it's very hard to actually nurture it in our children when we don't have it ourselves. Yeah. It helps us to look at needs and wants. So just because there's a want doesn't mean it's a need, but we don't know that. It helps us to look at challenging unwanted behaviour. And also encouraging children. So we learn how it's not just praise, because praise can be as bad as criticism, actually. Mm. So it's like, what do you praise? You praise their effort. You praise their persistence and their determination to do something, not just, yo, you got a good grade, well done. Because then there's the pressure of, well, what if I don't get a good grade next time?
Mm.
So if you're praising the effort that they make and the determination they have, that's something that they can keep on growing.
Mm. And what age do you think children start recognising these feelings they've got? So what age should the parents come to your coaching courses?
I don't know that there's a should. There are some great coaches for children. I mean, even little children can be helped by a child coach or a teen coach. But parents of children at any age, as long as they're old enough to talk and to understand, then the way you're interacting with them can make a big difference to them.
Mm. So do you think this is something that eventually will be actually taught in schools and things, how children should react to their parents almost?
Yes, and there are some schools now that have some wonderful courses in mindfulness, in communication, in emotional intelligence. And I think that's fantastic, because it's not just for their relationship with their parent, it's how they interact with each other at school or with their teachers and then eventually in their jobs.
And what about life coaching and things? Because that's another thing that you're very much into, isn't it? How you want to help people make the best of what they want to do and encourage them to do it.
Yes.
How did that start?
That started through the coaching that I'd had from my lovely friend Bushra, who no longer lives in the UK, but we still spend a lot of time talking to each other. Through seeing the power of that, and she suggested that I go to an introductory course and see what I felt about it. And I was hooked. I went on a weekend course through CTI, the Coaches Training Institute. I just had signed up for the six-month course before I'd left there, because it was just so amazing. And then before that course was over, I'd signed up for the certification course. I just knew it was what I wanted to do, and you see it making a difference. We learned coaching through watching the leaders coach us, being coached by us, and then through coaching each other. So it wasn't about being told anything. There are a lot of coaches now who will pick up a book or do a free online course and call themselves a coach. And there are even courses, free online courses, that offer you a certification in coaching at the end of it. And that's not really going to make a difference to somebody's life. It might, help them with a bit of goal setting. But really, when you're talking about transforming somebody's life, you need to be able to do more than that. And the coaching training that I've had has been really, really transformational.
Mm. When you say transforming, what examples have you had of things that people have done to actually make their life far different to how they ever thought it would be?
Well, you could take the lady who was stuck with her writing. That's changed her life an awful lot. I had another lady, a writer, who was wonderful at everything. She was brilliant at everything. She was a good writer and she loved writing and she thought she needed to be a writer. And through our coaching, she realised that actually that wasn't what she wanted to do. She'd been doing it because she was good at it and everybody told her she wrote brilliant stuff. But that wasn't what she really wanted to do.
So what so was she? What did she want to do?
She actually went into finance.
No.
Yes.
Gosh, the other end of the spectrum.
Absolutely. But she was excited by that. So I haven't been in touch with her for a while. I don't know what she's doing. I've been meaning to. So maybe she's gone back to writing. It's a skill that she'll always have.
Indeed.
I coached somebody recently. He's in the world of IT and technology. And after one session, he emailed me to say, thank you so much for your time today. It's been life-changing. And that's the kind of thing, well, who wouldn't want to do that kind of work?
Indeed, absolutely. But getting back to your own writing then, are you planning any books? Are you writing a novel?
Yes, there's something simmering at the back of my mind that I do love writing my monthly articles and really I'm toying with the idea of putting them into a book. I have three half-started novels that
yes.
I haven't done much with because I've spent a lot of time caring for my elderly mother
over the last
10 years pretty much actually. So I sort of scaled back the work that I was doing and the things that I didn't absolutely need to do during that time.
And what about the writers' workshops and retreats that you run? Are you still doing those?
Not retreats at the moment, but workshops, yes.
Are there any coming up that we need to know about?
Nothing apart from the Romantic Novelist Association.
You'll be at their conference, will you?
I will be at their conference. I'm also actually co-facilitating a course for Action for Happiness at the moment, which is not writing, but it's that's also another
what's
area.
What's that then, Action for Happiness?
Action for Happiness is an organisation, and it promotes happiness. So we have an eight-week course. We're going to be on week four this Wednesday. We meet at Boho in Queen's Road. And Melanie Gladwin and I follow, it's a format that Action for Happiness has created. We just facilitate it, but it's about we listen to ideas about happiness, we discuss things ourselves, and really it's about helping people to develop their own capacity for happiness, because we often we underrate happiness. We think we're stuck with the life we've got, which isn't true at all. So we can all learn to be happier, and there are a number of very, very simple things we can do,
such as
gratitude. So you've possibly heard of think of three things you're grateful for every day. It's not just in that moment of remembering those three things that you're grateful for, and it's not the words or the thoughts of being grateful, it's actually the emotion that those things conjure up in you. So when you can reconnect with the emotion of gratitude for whatever happened, it could be a big thing, it could be a tiny thing, that's helping your body to tune into the good things in life, because we're often much better and we're hardwired to notice the bad things, the things that are going wrong, the things that are threats, the things that cause us stress, and not the things that are good in our lives. So we can actually have the misperception that life is all stressful, or we're just not happy, there's nothing great happening in our lives. And when we learn to tune into the things that are good in our lives, it actually rewires the brain.
Yeah, so you're saying gratitude. So thank yourself for three things every day. What else?
Think of something you've done that worked really well and your part in that. So that can be really helpful. Meditation, a lot of people think meditation's a bit woo-woo, but actually you can do a one-minute mindfulness meditation or a five-minute mindfulness. Everybody's got time for 1 minute. And that just helps us to reconnect, to sort of let go of the world around us and to just tune into ourselves and to give ourselves a moment of peace. Because in those moments of peace, you have ideas, you have creativity, you have more compassion for other people. You're not just feeling the stress of and the sort of edginess of life.
Mm. So do you find that there's some people who are particularly negative and say, oh, there's nothing good in my life and things. And so can you actually help them actually convince them that there is something that's good in everybody's life.
Yes, and it's not so much convincing them as helping them to notice those things and to pay more attention to those things and to appreciate those things. So a lot of people don't appreciate themselves and they don't appreciate their own personal qualities. You can have a CEO of a company, you know, he's at the top of his game and he's achieving, but he feels like a fraud because he doesn't recognise, or she doesn't recognise, her own personal qualities. We achieve things and then move on to the next achievement. Mm. And we don't stop and think, oh, that was good. I really enjoyed doing that. You know, I appreciate that. I used my skills. I did this. I had compassion for somebody. I made somebody's day better. We can do all kinds of things. If we stop and think about them, they can make a difference to us as well as ourselves. Mm. So one thing through Action for Happiness and other organisations that focus on happiness, we've come to understand that we can feel as happy doing something good for somebody else as when we do something good for ourselves.
Mm.
So imagine that. That's sort of a double whammy. You do something to make somebody else's life better and you feel better yourself.
Mm. Because I think some people, you know, if you work in a business where they're always criticising you and then you come home and you haven't achieved what you want to and your dinner's late and children are awake all night, they just think everything is negative.
Mm.
But you can actually help them get over that, to realise that even in a situation like that, there's something positive that's happened that day.
Yes. And we are all so busy that we don't give ourselves those moments. I think it was Gandhi, I may be wrong, but I think it was Gandhi who said, who was asked, you know, what do you do, how do you meditate when you're really busy, when you've got no time? And he said, I meditate 2 hours. So he meditates an hour a day. And then when he was asked that question, he said, I meditate for 2 hours. Because the benefits of just shutting off the world and focusing on what you need, on what's going on in yourself, is so, it gives us more time, it gives us more energy, it helps us to be more creative and compassionate.
Mm. So there is something good in everybody's life, even if they've had a bad day then?
They've had a bad day, and even if they've had a rough ride, they can find something that's good.
Because often I think when people say, well, I meditate, they start thinking of all the things that they haven't done and all things like that, rather than just turning off. But
yeah.
You have to just get over that, don't you?
Because
positiveness is the best thing for everything, really.
Positivity is good, and that doesn't mean you ignore the things that aren't working. It just means that if we can focus more on the things that work, on the things that make us feel good, on the things that make other people feel good, then our lives are going to be a lot better for it.
Mm. So what have you actually got coming up for all these things that you do, for the children's things and the positive lifestyle things?
What's so our next Action for Happiness is on this Wednesday evening. I've got the coaching on street coaching on the flash mob on Saturday. I'm preparing my next article for Look Local. I've got the clients that I love to work with. I do so many things that I have created the kind of life for myself that I could only imagine and dream of when I was employed. And that's what I like to offer my clients who come to me and say, you know, I'm doing really well and I've got this, I've got the home and the family and the job and the money, but something's missing. And we can actually find fulfillment and create a life that works for anybody.
Mm. So is there anything on your list of things that you still want to do?
My book, as I told Jackie. That'll come. More travel, because I haven't been moving very much recently, so I'm doing that. I've got not major goals that you would think of, like, I need to achieve this. I want to be writing that book in the next couple of years. I just enjoy what I'm doing.
Mm. I think we can tell, Jackie, just from talking to Sonia, how much she enjoys it.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, absolutely.
That's brilliant. So do you have a website you could give out?
Yes, it's inspirationcoaching.biz.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming in today.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.